And on the line now, I have Jill Brennan, who is CEO of the Irish Pro Share Association. Good morning, Jill.
Hi, John. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for taking the call. We're going to discuss, there's a crisis facing hundreds of Irish SMEs and employee share ownership and stuff like that. Would you first of all, would you tell us, the listeners, a little bit about the Irish Pro Share Association and about the upcoming conference that's happening tomorrow, I think it's happening.
It is indeed, John, it is indeed. Yeah, the Irish Pro Share Association has actually been around for the last 40-odd years. What we are is that we are an advocacy body that represents Irish businesses that would like to see their employees have a stake in the business or a shareholding in the business. So that would range from companies as large as the likes of Pfizer and MSD and those large multinationals, to smaller companies such as EFL Distribution, which is actually based in Santry there in North County Dublin as well. So we represent companies from, like I said, multinational size right down to SMEs and micro businesses, where those businesses actually want to see their employees share in the benefits and the profitability of the company through a shareholder stake. So what we are doing tomorrow is we're having a conference. It's our third annual conference. It's called Employee Share Ownership Day, where we have a variety of speakers from across all spectrums of the business world that deal with share plans. We will have Pat McCann, who is the CEO of Dalata Hotel Group. We will have Pat would be coming to speak with us about the share ownership within the hotel industry, that the hotel scheme that they operate at the moment. And then we will also have Minister Michael Darcy is coming to speak to us about the commitment that government is making towards this type of business model, which is necessary in this day and age, John, as we move from, I suppose, a very almost paternalistic society to a much more individual and socializing of responsibility and capital society.
Yeah, and small and medium businesses now are at a way forward, as well as these multinational companies. Tell us a little bit about how Irish employees being shareholders. Is it very common, or is it a small percentage?
It would be a small percentage, and to be honest with you, John, it would be predominantly within the multinationals, because a lot of these companies would have listings on stock exchanges around the world. However, that's not to say that some private companies, non-listed companies, do actually operate share plans as well. You're looking at the likes of companies like Musgraves and PM Group. They're two of the largest private companies in the country, and they actually offer a share scheme for their employees. Some smaller companies do it as well, but it's very difficult. And what we would like to see government do is actually make it an awful lot more easy for employers like SMEs to actually provide shareholdings for their employees. Now, this is not talking about giving away the company in its entirety to their employees. It's about the employees having a stake in the business and in the direction of the business. And that is why at tomorrow's conference, we will be talking about a really positive succession planning tool for SMEs called Employee Ownership Trusts. Now, Employee Ownership Trusts have been around in the United Kingdom since about 2014, and the actual architect of the legislation around the Employee Ownership Trust in the UK is coming to our conference tomorrow to speak, a guy called Nigel Mason. And John, these really are a fantastic succession planning tool for SMEs. And really the whole reason that we feel that it's important is because, you know, 99% of the Irish economy is basically driven by the SME sector, and it employs nearly 70% of all employees in the country. So if these types of businesses don't have any succession planning in place, they really find themselves up against the wall. A recent study actually by PwC this year found that only 18% of Irish family businesses, which the majority of SMEs would be, have a succession plan in place, which means that there's about 82% that don't. So, you know, it's worrying.
Yeah, and when you talk about succession, I worked in a small company in a different life a long, long time ago, and the owner of that company, he had daughters, and they weren't interested in coming into the business. So are we talking about this type of situation as well?
We are indeed, because the family business, to be honest with you, I think is a dying breed, and it's going to be a rare entity in the future, because we have a far more educated workforce now. So family businesses have put the money into educating their children, which means that now those children have a choice of career which is far more varied and far more available than it was before. So those children may have inherited the entrepreneurial spirit, but not necessarily for the same business that their parents had founded several years ago. So the options really only available to SMEs would be to keep going as they are, and if nobody wants to take over the business in the family, that the founder owners keep going as they are, and really the only end game there is that they get carried out in the box.
Yeah.
Or there's a management buyout, or there's third-party sale. But those three options are not really positive, because the management buyout puts huge pressure on the manage on the leadership team that buy it, and do those employees really want to take the risk? Whereas the third-party sale or even the private equity sale usually means reduced headcount and a trade sale and the end of the business in years to come. So what we're suggesting is the fourth way. And the fourth way is something that the UK have actually got right. Take Brexit out of the picture and the UK got this right. Employee ownership trusts. Basically what it is the business is sold to an employee ownership trust where the asset is held by a separate legal entity, but the employees are the direct beneficiaries of the trust. So it's a great way for employers to ensure that the business stays on, it continues within the communities within which it was founded, it continues to be an employer and to give back to the communities, the community economy that it was founded in. And the business doesn't die. And it's very positive. It's positive from both a commercial and a social perspective.
Now, we're talking about shared ownership here. Is this different to profit-sharing schemes? I know there's profit-sharing schemes in a lot of companies in Ireland.
It's somewhat different, to be honest with you, John, and this is, I suppose, where the confusion can start. Shared ownership means that the employees, they benefit or in a share of any profits if they choose to in the business, but they have a voice, they have a vote. Profit-sharing usually doesn't mean the employees have a vote. It basically means that if there's a profit at the end of the year and it is decided by management that they can pay out the profit, that they will divide it up between the employees on a pro rata or on a weighted basis. Shared ownership is exactly that. You share in the responsibilities of the business as well as the profits of the business. So you share in the highs, the lows, and any benefit that may accrue from that. And in the UK, this business model has taken off exponentially. And by that, what I mean is that an awful lot of the employees in the first 5 to 6, even 10 years of an employee-owned business, they don't take any profits out of the business. What they elect to do is to put the money back into the business to be creative, innovative, and to ensure that the business has a long-term investment plan. There's no short-termism in this. It's all long-term.
Yeah, it sounds an excellent idea. You mentioned 6% of Irish employees are shareholders in the companies, and that's compared to an EU average of 21.7%. Why is it so low in Ireland? Is there an explanation?
Well, that is the fourth secret, or maybe even the third or fifth secret of Fatima, really, to be honest with you. I'd say, to be honest with you, John, it's the fact that we, as a nation, we didn't grow up as shareholders. You know, we didn't get the whole concept of owning shares in the business the same way as it would have been, say, taking off in the late 1900s in America, where everybody kind of wanted to be a shareholder in a business or to own stock in something. We never got that whole concept here in Ireland, and I think we were too badly burned by incidences like PMPA and Telecom Éireann. I mean, we didn't understand that, in particular where Telecom Éireann was concerned, that in order for us to make any money as shareholders or stockholders in TE, that we had to hold on to the shares. It wasn't the case of you bought them today and then the share price goes up tomorrow, you sell them. Sure, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. It has to be a long-term. We never got the whole concept of long-termism in relation to this. However, I think the other thing that didn't is that really you didn't have a share ownership stake. And what I mean is that you don't have that vital important piece of, you didn't have a say in how the company saw itself going forward or how you felt that it should be run. And that's one of, I suppose, the challenges that the larger multinationals have to try and overcome, is how their shareholders feel that they actually are owners in the company. And that's why this model works so well within the SME sector, because it's a smaller employee base and everybody gets it because they're all on the same page together.
Okay, now if the employee ownership, shared ownership, I'd imagine that the employees would probably be working harder and maybe working longer. Would you see an increase in production in shared ownership companies?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Employee-owned companies outperform non-employee-owned companies by a factor of 1 to 5, which means that they're 5 times more productive, they're 5 times more profitable, they're 5 times longer lifespan. And employees are happier, healthier, and what's important is their well-being is paramount. They're engaged. They feel listened to. They're valued. That's really what it comes down to. It's valuing. It's the, they feel valued. And it really is, I think, in this day and age, the true socialization of capital and the true socialization of responsibility. And when people are valued, you'll get so much more out of them. They want to go to work. They want to feel part of something, and they feel like they're in it together. And that's certainly what we're finding, and research is actually finding, in relation to employee-owned businesses, that they're far more profitable and productive than non-employee-owned businesses.
Yeah. Now, looking forward, would you say there's going to be an increase in shared ownership? Because, say, for instance, people who started up companies decades ago and are now getting to the stage where they're saying to themselves, listen, I want to retire, I want to enjoy my life. Do you think that they'll go into this employee shared ownership and there will be an increase?
I think only if the framework and the legislative framework is there to support them, John, to be honest with you. And currently that's where we fall down. Currently at the moment, government has tried very hard to embrace the idea of employee share ownership, and we are working very closely with them to ensure that the key employee engagement program scheme, which is for startups in particular, that's a great, great way for startups to compete for really good talent by giving those the talent a share of the business. So we're working with government to ensure that that piece of legislation works really well and that it's exactly what it needs to be. There's a bit to go yet on that, but we're, like I said, we're having good conversations with government in relation to that. The next conversation we want to have, and again, the ears are open in the Department of Finance about this, is in relation to employee ownership trusts. And that is why people like Michael Darcy are coming to speak with us tomorrow to basically tell our attendees that government is committed to this particular type of business model and in trying to ensure that there is a legacy there that people can leave behind, and that government are committed to ensuring that they will do all at their disposal to try and ensure that people can do this going forward. So it's very much in the early stages. We are, like I said, talking to some companies at the moment who are interested in this, but we've been telling them and mindful of the fact that this may take 2 to 5 years for this piece of legislation to come on board. But it's a good way to start thinking about what you're going to do when you, in relation to succession planning, to know that there is a fourth way and that there is a fourth option, and it will be on the table within the next 3 to 5 years.
Right, so the Minister, he's going to say the government is very supportive of this. But legislation, you mentioned years, it'll take years for this legislation to go through. Is that going to slow things down?
Well, when you put it into context of how they move some things in Europe, there's this piece of legislation in Europe called the PEPR. Well, it was a piece of research done called the PEPR report, and PEPR 2 was actually launched in Europe 30 years ago to try and bring greater employee share ownership across the EU 27. 30 years on, that still hasn't moved. I think Ireland can be a leader in this space because we are smaller, we're nimbler, and as of recent reports from the IDA we're announcing yesterday, if we are ranking currently 7th in the world as the best economy in which to do business, I think we could certainly get up there much higher by bringing in this kind of shared ownership model within the next 3 to 5 years. 3 to 5 years in legislative parlance is not that long at all. I mean, we managed to get the KEEP scheme over the line with government within 3 years, so I think we can do the same for employee ownership trust legislation.
Yeah, the KEEP scheme, that's a key employee engagement programme. And it just dawned on me there, it would be quite hard for small businesses to keep staff.
It is, and that's why one of the ways that we would suggest is through something like the Key Employee Engagement Programme, whereby you give your key employees a share in the business. Because, as a good friend of mine often says, nobody ever washes a rented car. So it makes sense that you will work an awful lot harder if you have an ownership stake in something. The same, if you rent a house, you don't value as much as if you own the house, because you're putting everything into ensuring the mortgage is paid. It's the same that you're ensuring that that the business is going to be there to make sure that you have a job in the long term, but also that you can pay your bills and you're going to get a wage out of it. If you have an ownership stake, it matters. It matters to you. And when it matters to you, you will be sure that you can be damn sure people will work an awful lot harder for it. So in order to get the legislation across the board, what we really need are people behind us. So I would urge any of your listeners who are owners of SMEs to get in touch with us at IPSA, because getting your shoulder to the wheel to help us get this legislation across the line will make a huge difference, because we're only as good as the mandate that our members give us. And if that mandate is coming from SMEs, it certainly, I can tell you, will get the government's attention.
Okay, Jill, listen, it's been very interesting talking to you. This conference that's happening tomorrow, is it all fully booked up or is there room for...
No, we still have a couple of tickets left. People can go on to the IPSA website, that's www.ipsa.ie. And on the homepage there, if you click on events, you'll be brought to another page where you can click through to Eventbrite to book a ticket. Or if you haven't time to book a ticket, but you decide in the morning you'd like to come along, we're kicking off at 8:15 in the Gordon House in Google, down in Google on Barrow Street in Dublin. And we're there from 8:15 till 1:00 tomorrow. And like I said, we have a great range of speakers: Pat McCann, Minister Michael Darcy, Nigel Mason, Keeby Ryan, Marie Flynn and Kerry Sim from Diageo. So a very good range of speakers that will definitely, I hope, give people food for thought. So if you're interested in coming along, booking is still open. We still have a couple of tickets left. It's all free. We'd love to see you on the day.
And that's www.ipsa.ie.
That's it, John. That's it indeed.
Right, listen, as I said, it's been very interesting. Is there anything you'd like to add, Jill, before we go?
No, I just encourage anybody who can't make it down tomorrow to reach out to us. You can reach out to me via my direct email, which is dbrennan@ipsa.ie. If you have any questions or queries, I'd be very happy to answer them. But next week after the conference is over, because I'm up to my eyes at the moment. But if you can't make it down tomorrow and you'd love to know more, I'd be very happy to come out and meet with any of your listeners in relation to this. Or if you can make it tomorrow, like I said, we'd love to see you.
Okay, Jill, listen, thanks very much for taking the call and the best of luck with the conference tomorrow. I'm sure it'll be a huge success.
Thanks a million, John. Thanks for having me on.
Take care. Thank you very much for taking the call. Right, very interesting, Jill Brennan there. And if you want more information on that conference, it's www.ipsa.ie.